Pray with me. Jesus, we praise you, for you are worthy. You are the Lamb of God. You are our Savior, our Redeemer. You alone are righteous and holy. Father, we thank you. We love you. We praise you. We give you this praise of our hearts that it might be pleasing to you. Father, as we open your word, open our minds and our hearts, draw us to you. Reveal yourself in your scripture. Father, we want more of you. We want your Holy Spirit to fill this room. Father, may your words be spoken. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 6. We have a little unfinished business with chapter 6 from last week. I'm going to start reading at verse 22. Romans 6, verse 22. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. And look at verse 23. I told you I was going to give you another verse that you need to remember. 3:23 and 6:23. If you don't memorize any other scripture, memorize these two. 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." When you think of a slave, what image comes to mind? What thought characteristics come into your head? And then do you equate that to your life with Christ? Are you a slave to God? Slaves don't make decisions. They follow orders. Right? Slaves are owned by their master, and they follow the will and the orders of the master, whatever that is. Whether they like it or not, they follow that. Now, the difference between the slaves that come to our mind, I think I'm probably showing my age, but whenever I hear slaves, I think of that miniseries, Roots. Remember that? That's not a pretty picture. But the slave that God wants you to be is different than the slave of Roots in that the slave that you and I know from our history classes, from that time in our nation's history, those slaves benefited the master. Okay? It was to enrich him. Your being a slave to God is for your benefit. For your benefit. Look at 22 again. But you are now free. We don't equate being a slave to freedom. But God's economy is different. You are now free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do the things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So let me ask you, take stock this morning. Are you a slave to God? And whatever that means for you, whatever it equates, whatever He asks you to do, are you a slave to God? Think about that for a minute. And watch this.
So I grew up knowing of God. I went to church. I was told, be good, do good, go to heaven. I didn't know Jesus Christ then. I lost both my parents at a young age. I was 16 years old and they both passed away. I lived at home by myself. I have a younger brother who lived with guardians, some aunts and uncles, but I refused to. Then I graduated high school, joined the military. I had gotten out of the military and seen a couple of near-death experiences in the military. I thought I was invincible. I had gained some bad habits throughout my life. And I was drinking. I was drinking and driving, and I didn't have my seatbelt on. And I rolled my Jeep. And just living life in the wheelchair, I didn't know what I was going to do after that. I was broken. I had a wife. I didn't know what my life was going to be anymore. I was depressed. I was done. That was it. I started attending church. Me and Stacy started attending church, and I heard a sermon that basically changed it for me, and I accepted Jesus Christ in my life and said, you know, I don't know what I'm doing in this life. You know, I don't have control of this life, and this life is not mine. Once I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I live this life for Him. I'm in this wheelchair for Him, and I wouldn't give it up. You know, this is my trial, this is my test, but it's God's glory. And if I can praise Him and glorify Him in this wheelchair, glory to Him and praise Him, I wouldn't go back. I wouldn't trade it in for anything.
Can you pray like that? Can you imagine life in a wheelchair and not wanting to get out if that's what gave God glory? Your life is full of trials, troubles, things that you wish would change. You know, so often our prayers are for God to make our life more of what we want it to be. Our prayers so often are for God to make our life easier. How often do you pray for God to make your life what He wants it to be? That's what Romans 7 and 8 are really about. Look with me at chapter 7, at verse 13. Did that which is good then become death to me? By no means. Verse 14. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for I do what I do. Hang on, I'm going to get it. For I want to do, I do not do, but what I do, I hate. I don't do what I want to. I do what the flesh wants me to, and I don't do what God wants me to. It's the struggle. It's what you and I live with on a daily basis. And what we have to be focused on is this life of what does God want, not what I want. We have to get to a place where we can pray. Can you imagine being in a wheelchair and saying, I wouldn't go back. I wouldn't get out of this. What's in your life that you want to get rid of so badly, but it keeps you close to the cross, to where we can get to the place where we say, I know I do things that I don't want to do, but I want to be what God wants me to be. I remember this story of this little girl. She saw a caterpillar who was turning into a butterfly, and the butterfly was struggling to get out of the cocoon, struggling with all its might. And she very carefully took a knife and helped the butterfly get out of the cocoon. And the butterfly died. Do you know why? Because the struggle of getting out of the cocoon is what gives the butterfly the wing strength development to be able to fly. If you and I are going to get to the place where we can say, whatever it is, God, I won't go back for you. I'm going to live the life that you want me to. The struggle is incredibly important. Look at verse 17. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. You ever feel like him? Keep reading. For I do not do the good I want to, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin living within me. Verse 21. So I find this law at work, although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Verse 25. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. The deliverance comes in the struggle, in our focus on Him. If you want to get to the place where you can say, God, whatever you want, I'm truly a slave to you and I put sin behind me, it takes us being focused on Him. Our struggle becomes, like Paul, most of the sin in your life, you like it. You like it. It wouldn't be a struggle if you didn't like it. I mean, there are things that are sins for me that would never be a problem for you. Never. But the sin that's in our life, and like Paul is saying here, the struggle is because I like it. Look at verse 1 of chapter 8. This is one of the most important pieces of Scripture in all the Bible for us to understand the struggle. Because Satan wants you to focus on your failure. He wants you to focus on your failure. And be reminded of what Paul says of how horrible you are because you're a sinner. Look at verse 1 of chapter 8. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Every other religion on this planet today has rules that you have to live up to. You have to check boxes. You have to make sure that you say all your and do all your. Jesus says, I took care of all that. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. That's grace. The struggle is important. The focus has to be that you and I have to desire the cross to be more like Him. If you want to get to the place where you are a slave to Christ and put your sins behind you, first of all, you got to understand there's no condemnation. He took care of all that. That's grace. Your sins are covered. Then look at verse 3. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh in order to be a sin offering. So He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law may be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. Translated, you don't have the ability to pay for your sins, but Jesus does, and He did. So, He wants us to live for Him. Look at verse 5. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. You were there. At one point, you and I were there. We had our mind set on flesh. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. That's becoming a slave to Christ, of being focused on what does the Spirit desire. Do you know how you know what the Spirit desires? You listen to Him. You listen to Him. Verse 6, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to the law, nor can it do so. Verse 8, those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. If you live down here and your desire is the flesh, it's impossible to please God. You can't do it. So here's the question. Are you a slave or not? Are you a slave or not? Do you do what the flesh desires, or do you strive to do what God desires? Look at verse 9. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but you are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit, they cannot belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He raised Christ from the dead will also give life to mortal bodies because of the Spirit who lives in you. Let me bring that into our understanding, okay? When we give our life to Christ, it doesn't mean we are not going to sin. It doesn't even mean that you're not going to desire to sin. What it does mean is the Spirit is living in you and is going to direct you to something else and going to convict you. And like Paul says, is the Spirit living in you or not? Now I'm going to get on a soapbox. Sunday school brought this up to me this morning. If you want to be led by the Spirit, you have to listen to the Spirit. Okay? And you say, well, how do you hear the Spirit? Well, first of all, you got to be quiet enough to listen. I watch, females are way better than this than males are. But you get a group of females together, and they're all talking at the same time, and they're listening. Okay? We can't do that. That's not possible for us. It's also not possible for your spirit, whether you're male or female. Okay? You have to tune out the world to listen to God. Like Paul is saying, if you are focused on the flesh, you cannot hear the Spirit. Satan's biggest tool in this society today to quench the Spirit and for you to lose your ability to hear the Spirit is this right here. Walk into any room, any doctor's office, look across the car at the streetlight, and we are so focused on this, you can't hear anything else. I've got the wrong one of these because mine's not as interesting as everybody else's. I don't get it. Okay? But Satan uses this so that you don't hear the Spirit. If you're not careful, we are in a society that has to keep our mind active all the time. All the time. Something. That's so you can't hear the Spirit. And sometimes you just got to be quiet. Just be quiet and listen to God. Because look at verse 12. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not the flesh. It's not the flesh to live in according to it. Verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. What does that mean? If you want to live by the Spirit, you have to focus on the Spirit. I got a little exercise for us. This is Bob. That's so perfect in so many ways. I want you to focus on Bob, okay? I'll tell you when to stop focusing on Bob, but focus on Bob. Okay? Now look over here. I didn't tell you to stop focusing on Bob. So everybody that looked over here just failed the test. It's the same way with the Spirit. You have to be focused on the Spirit. And things will distract you constantly if you're not careful. And sometimes they're good things. But if you want to live in accordance to what God wants and you want to be a slave to Him, you have to focus on Him. Look with me at verse 28. Verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, for He has been called in accordance to His purpose. Our biggest challenge is that our trials, our struggles, our temptations, the bobs in your life, this means more to some of you than the others, the bobs in your life take your focus. And you forget it's going to work for your good. And our prayers become, will you please get Bob out of my life? Will you please get Bob out of my life? Please make my life easier. When our prayers need to be, God, what do you want? And how are you going to use this struggle to make me more like you? Look at verse 37. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height or depth, or anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Nothing can separate you from how much God loves you. And when those times in your life when you question, how can you possibly love me if you let this happen? You need verse 38. Highlighted, underlined, circled, tattooed to your head. There is nothing you can do that will ever separate you from how much God loves you. Think about that, and I'm going to close with this.
Everywhere you look, everywhere you go, every moment of every day, from the rise of the dawn to the setting of the sun, from the first cup of coffee to the last bedtime story, at work, in school, among friends, and with your family, during trials and storms, triumphs and victories, on your worst day and in your finest moment, He is near. For our God dwells with us and abides in us. His presence surrounds us, and His Spirit is inescapable. He loves us with an unimaginable affection and cares for us with an unfathomable passion. Everywhere you look, everywhere you go, God is near.
No matter what you're dealing with, no matter where you go, God is near. Stand with me and let's be dismissed. Father, thank you for loving us with a love that we can't even begin to imagine. Father, I pray for each one of us in this room that we truly be slaves for you, because it's to our benefit. Let us be reminded that there is nothing we can do that would separate us from your love. Let us walk out these doors and take the message that there is no condemnation for those who love you. Jesus, we love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.